ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება.
მეხუთე ვარიანტი.
ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება.
მეხუთე ვარიანტი.
Listening task 1. You are going to listen to 5 texts. For each of them, answer the 2 questions given. Mark the correct answer A, B, or C. You have 20 seconds to look through the questions. You will then hear the recording twice. Text 1. It was a perfectly normal day until I got to the train station. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and I was in the best possible mood. All that was going to change, though. I paid for my ticket and waited patiently on the platform along with the other passengers. We waited and waited, but the train did not arrive. Then someone asked an old woman, Mrs. Mope, who was sweeping the platform, where the train was. She said that the railway workers were on strike. So, we all decided to find alternative transport. To cut a long story short, I didn't arrive at work until 11 o'clock, 2 hours late. My boss was not pleased. From here on, the day got worse and worse. Customers complained, computers broke down, and it seemed as if nothing was going to go right on this day that had started so well. Things were not going to get better. I was called to the boss's office, and he was not in the best mood. He told me he was not happy with my work and asked me to leave the office and find another job. I left the office quickly and quietly. That was all last year. I found another job, and yes, it's at the train station. I'm helping Mrs. Mope clean the platforms. It was a perfectly normal day until I got to the train station. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and I was in the best possible mood. All that was going to change, though. I paid for my ticket and waited patiently on the platform along with the other passengers. We waited and waited, but the train did not arrive. Then someone asked an old woman, Mrs. Mope, who was sweeping the platform, where the train was. She said that the railway workers were on strike. So, we all decided to find alternative transport. To cut a long story short, I didn't arrive at work until 11 o'clock, 2 hours late. My boss was not pleased. From here on, the day got worse and worse. Customers complained, computers broke down, and it seemed as if nothing was going to go right on this day that had started so well. Things were not going to get better. I was called to the boss's office, and he was not in the best mood. He told me he was not happy with my work and asked me to leave the office and find another job. I left the office quickly and quietly. That was all last year. I found another job, and yes, it's at the train station. I'm helping Mrs. Mope clean the platforms. Text 2.
Opened in 1911, Café de la Rotonde in Paris remains a popular place both for locals and tourists. The locals enjoy the lively atmosphere of the café that offers only French cuisine. As for tourists, they are attracted to the café because of the charm of its past. In the past, the café was often visited by great impressionist artists and famous writers. One of the most colourful and beloved characters of that time was nightclub singer, painter and model Kiki de Montparnasse. It was in Café de la Rotonde that Kiki performed and met with artists. Kiki was raised in poverty by her grandmother. At the age of 12, she was sent to live with her mother in Paris in order to find work. Kiki first worked in shops and bakeries. Then, by the age of 14, she became a model for sculptors. Kiki's mother didn't like her job as a model and argued a lot with her about it. Later, Kiki wrote her autobiography, Kiki's Memoirs, which was published in 1929 in France and the following year in the United States. It's an interesting fact that the introduction to the English translation of the book was written by Ernest Hemingway. Opened in 1911, Café de la Rotonde in Paris remains a popular place both for locals and tourists. The locals enjoy the lively atmosphere of the café that offers only French cuisine. As for tourists, they are attracted to the café because of the charm of its past. In the past, the café was often visited by great impressionist artists and famous writers. One of the most colourful and beloved characters of that time was nightclub singer, painter and model Kiki de Montparnasse. It was in Café de la Rotonde that Kiki performed and met with artists. Kiki was raised in poverty by her grandmother. At the age of 12, she was sent to live with her mother in Paris in order to find work. Kiki first worked in shops and bakeries. Then, by the age of 14, she became a model for sculptors. Kiki's mother didn't like her job as a model and argued a lot with her about it. Later, Kiki wrote her autobiography, Kiki's Memoirs, which was published in 1929 in France and the following year in the United States. It's an interesting fact that the introduction to the English translation of the book was written by Ernest Hemingway.
Text 3. Warsaw Autumn is a festival with a long tradition. It is the only international festival of contemporary music in Poland. The festival is organized by the Polish Composers' Union. Every year, a special committee decides the program of the festival. Musicians all over the world get together every year to participate in this international festival of modern music. Warsaw Autumn is a non-profit festival, which means that it doesn't aim to make money. It was created in 1956 and since then has been held every year with only two exceptions. The atmosphere of the festival has certainly changed in recent years. Now the concerts of the festival are held not only in traditional places such as theatres and churches, but also in less classic places such as sport halls and old factories. New colour is being added to the festival by young people, who make up the largest part of the audience. As for the music itself, it often features electronic music. Composers often introduce video projections and new technologies. Warsaw Autumn is a festival with a long tradition. It is the only international festival of contemporary music in Poland. The festival is organized by the Polish Composers' Union. Every year, a special committee decides the program of the festival. Musicians all over the world get together every year to participate in this international festival of modern music. Warsaw Autumn is a non-profit festival, which means that it doesn't aim to make money. It was created in 1956 and since then has been held every year with only two exceptions. The atmosphere of the festival has certainly changed in recent years. Now, the concerts of the festival are held not only in traditional places such as theatres and churches, but also in less classic places such as sport halls and old factories. New colour is being added to the festival by young people, who make up the largest part of the audience. As for the music itself, it often features electronic music. Composers often introduce video projections and new technologies. Text 4.
Pumpkins have been grown for thousands of years in North and Central America, and they are one of the most popular crops in the United States. Today, pumpkin festivals and contests are very popular in North America. The Barnesville Pumpkin Festival in the state of Ohio in the United States attracts around 100,000 visitors every year. The best part of the festival is the event of choosing the king pumpkin, the largest pumpkin. The contest is won by the person who has grown the heaviest pumpkin. The heaviest pumpkin ever grown in the US was a record-breaking monster weighing over 1 ton. In 2019, the Barnesville Pumpkin Festival was held on the 26th to the 29th of September. Another popular tradition in North America connected with pumpkins is making decorated lanterns from carved pumpkins at Halloween. This tradition dates back to the 19th century. Pumpkin lanterns that have been carved and decorated with a face are known as jack-o'-lanterns. Pumpkins have been grown for thousands of years in North and Central America, and they are one of the most popular crops in the United States. Today, pumpkin festivals and contests are very popular in North America. The Barnesville Pumpkin Festival in the state of Ohio in the United States attracts around 100,000 visitors every year. The best part of the festival is the event of choosing the king pumpkin, the largest pumpkin. The contest is won by the person who has grown the heaviest pumpkin. The heaviest pumpkin ever grown in the US was a record-breaking monster weighing over 1 ton. In 2019, the Barnesville Pumpkin Festival was held on the 26th to the 29th of September. Another popular tradition in North America connected with pumpkins is making decorated lanterns from carved pumpkins at Halloween. This tradition dates back to the 19th century. Pumpkin lanterns that have been carved and decorated with a face are known as jack-o'-lanterns.
Text 5. Niko Pirosmani was a self-educated artist who invented a new painting technique, not only due to his great talent, but also out of poverty. He is one of the outstanding primitivism painters in the world. But as usually happens to great people, Pirosmani lived and died in poverty, never recognized by his countrymen while he was alive. Pirosmani was so poor that he often painted just for food. Real fame came to him after his death. Niko Pirosmani was from Kakheti. He was born in a family of farmers who were neither rich nor poor, but they were happy together. Unfortunately, after his father's death, the family's happiness ended. Pirosmani's paintings clearly show the happy childhood of a boy with his sisters, brothers, and parents, but after his father's death, darker and gloomier colours start to appear in his paintings. He was still very young when he started to serve the families of the rich. Working as a servant, Niko Pirosmani learned to read and write. He was smart, loved to read books and paint. He painted all the walls in his room. Also, Pirosmani often entertained the children from the neighborhood with fairy tales, painting his stories at the same time on the walls. Niko Pirosmani was a self-educated artist who invented a new painting technique, not only due to his great talent, but also out of poverty. He is one of the outstanding primitivism painters in the world. But as usually happens to great people, Pirosmani lived and died in poverty, never recognized by his countrymen while he was alive. Pirosmani was so poor that he often painted just for food. Real fame came to him after his death. Niko Pirosmani was from Kakheti. He was born in a family of farmers who were neither rich nor poor, but they were happy together. Unfortunately, after his father's death, the family's happiness ended. Pirosmani's paintings clearly show the happy childhood of a boy with his sisters, brothers, and parents, but after his father's death, darker and gloomier colours start to appear in his paintings. He was still very young when he started to serve the families of the rich. Working as a servant, Niko Pirosmani learned to read and write. He was smart, loved to read books and paint. He painted all the walls in his room. Also, Pirosmani often entertained the children from the neighborhood with fairy tales, painting his stories at the same time on the walls. Listening task 2. Listen to the text and for each question, mark the correct answer A, B, or C. You now have 30 seconds to look through the task. You will then hear the recording twice. Life is full of surprises, so you won't be surprised to hear how one day changed the lives of my wife, my kids, and me. That was the day we found a 6-month-old puppy. We found him trying to get off a highway after he'd been hit by a car. We stopped to help rush the puppy to a veterinary hospital. At that moment, we had no idea that we would have to make a difficult choice. We could either take on full responsibility for the puppy, which would include payment for the veterinary service, or we could give the puppy to the animal control agency. The amount we had to pay was about $3,000, which we couldn't afford. So, with tears in our eyes, we unfortunately had to let the local animal control agency take care of the little dog. But the story didn't stop there. At the agency, I found out that the little dog had a broken front leg. Over the next few days, I stayed in contact with the agency to learn about the health of this beautiful little dog. In addition to the broken leg, the dog was suffering from a bad cough and some other diseases. Because of that, the payment for the veterinary service was high. It was clear to me and my wife that we couldn't afford to pay this amount of money. I started looking for animal organizations that could take care of the puppy, but I quickly learned that there are thousands of abandoned but completely healthy animals every year. So most animal organizations prefer to take care of healthy animals and not spend money on sick ones. Many animal organizations just don't have the money to take on the responsibility for an injured animal. Similarly, most people don't want to take on such responsibilities either. They prefer to choose from a lot of healthy animals. So because the agency knew that no one would take care of this particular dog, they decided to put him to death. Time passed quickly, and one day I realized that in 48 hours the little dog, which we had already called Bruno, was going to die. I had to do something. So I decided to send out an email to my colleagues telling the story of this little dog and asking them for help. In a few hours, thanks to my colleagues, I had more than enough money to pay for the veterinary service and save the little dog's life. Just a day before he was going to die, my wife and I went into the agency with the money and all the needed paperwork. Nearly 3 weeks after we had found Bruno in the highway, my wife and I brought the little dog home. At the time, we were just planning to keep the puppy for a week until he recovered. Then our plan was to find a permanent home for him. But after a week, we couldn't imagine our lives without him. Before all this happened, I had never wanted to have a dog at home. But I had actually never had one in my life before. But now I can't imagine life without Bruno. I never thought that I could feel such a strong love for a dog. But adopting Bruno has changed my wife, our kids, and me. The little dog has brought an unimaginable happiness into our home, and we would go through everything all over again to have even a moment with this little dog. I have no idea how I had ever lived without this lovely little dog. Life is full of surprises, so you won't be surprised to hear how one day changed the lives of my wife, my kids, and me. That was the day we found a 6-month-old puppy. We found him trying to get off a highway after he'd been hit by a car. We stopped to help rush the puppy to a veterinary hospital. At that moment, we had no idea that we would have to make a difficult choice. We could either take on full responsibility for the puppy, which would include payment for the veterinary service, or we could give the puppy to the animal control agency. The amount we had to pay was about $3,000, which we couldn't afford. So, with tears in our eyes, we unfortunately had to let the local animal control agency take care of the little dog. But the story didn't stop there. At the agency, I found out that the little dog had a broken front leg. Over the next few days, I stayed in contact with the agency to learn about the health of this beautiful little dog. In addition to the broken leg, the dog was suffering from a bad cough and some other diseases. Because of that, the payment for the veterinary service was high. It was clear to me and my wife that we couldn't afford to pay this amount of money. I started looking for animal organizations that could take care of the puppy, but I quickly learned that there are thousands of abandoned but completely healthy animals every year. So most animal organizations prefer to take care of healthy animals and not spend money on sick ones. Many animal organizations just don't have the money to take on the responsibility for an injured animal. Similarly, most people don't want to take on such responsibilities either. They prefer to choose from a lot of healthy animals. So because the agency knew that no one would take care of this particular dog, they decided to put him to death. Time passed quickly, and one day I realized that in 48 hours the little dog, which we had already called Bruno, was going to die. I had to do something. So I decided to send out an email to my colleagues telling the story of this little dog and asking them for help. In a few hours, thanks to my colleagues, I had more than enough money to pay for the veterinary service and save the little dog's life. Just a day before he was going to die, my wife and I went into the agency with the money and all the needed paperwork. Nearly 3 weeks after we had found Bruno in the highway, my wife and I brought the little dog home. At the time, we were just planning to keep the puppy for a week until he recovered. Then our plan was to find a permanent home for him. But after a week, we couldn't imagine our lives without him. Before all this happened, I had never wanted to have a dog at home. But I had actually never had one in my life before. But now I can't imagine life without Bruno. I never thought that I could feel such a strong love for a dog. But adopting Bruno has changed my wife, our kids, and me. The little dog has brought an unimaginable happiness into our home, and we would go through everything all over again to have even a moment with this little dog. I have no idea how I had ever lived without this lovely little dog. This is the end of the listening part.
Mosmenis davaleba dasrulebulia.